Hello and welcome to the Houston Vineyard Podcast. We sincerely hope that this message is a blessing to you. Enjoy.
Morning. There we go. Hey, for those of you that have been praying, thank you. I appreciate it. I had some surgery on Tuesday, and I will. It's super fun. So I will, as a disclaimer, let you know that I'm in a little bit of pain. And so if this is short or offensive, let's blame it on that. I'm incredibly excited about what we're about to start for this summer. Last year in summer, we were saying, how can we put sort of a theme throughout the summer that we can be connected to? Because the realities of the summer in Houston, as I'm here realizing, is that the people that can leave for as long as they can. And coming out of 2 years of pandemic, that has become sort of supersized, so to speak. And so when people are like, I'm getting away for 2 weeks, now it's like, can I get 6 weeks, 8 weeks? Can I just get out of here? Not because Houston is horrible, but because it is horrible. The heat and some people like the heat and the humidity. But and so we were saying, how do we stay connected as a community? We were trying to figure out rhythms of the life of our church. And one of the things we said is, you know, summer's not the time for us to be doing a bunch of programs and classes and sort of outdoor Bible studies to see if you really love Jesus. But we still want something that connects us. It's a thread through all of our experience through the summer. And so the thought of Summer of Wonder was born. And the idea was that every year, Summer of Wonder will be the overarching theme. And as the years go on, we'll try different things. And if it's good, it'll move on to the next year. And if it's not, we'll not do it next year. But this year, the sub-theme of Summer of Wonder is Beauty for Ashes. And I, as we were preparing this, it becomes really clear to me that the story of all of life, all of history, and all of Scripture is expressed in Beauty for Ashes. It's the heart of God. It's the character of God. It is who He is and how He thinks towards us. It's His posture towards us. And more than anything, it's what He's doing everywhere. And so what you'll see this summer in this series is you're going to hear from different voices. And I want to give you a little behind the scenes of how this works. One of the firm beliefs we have, one of the values we hold as a community, as a staff, as a pastoral staff, as a teaching team, is that we see the fullness of God in the whole of His creation. And what that means is that you can hear from me, and for some people that might be good, for some people, whatever, but I have a perspective based on my experience, based on my understanding, based on the way I engage with Scripture. I have a perspective on who God is, but I don't have all of it. And in order for us to fully engage in the fullness of who God is, it requires us in humility and sacred curiosity to hear the perspective of others. To hear how the God of all of us has shown Himself in other people's lives, in their experience, in their realities, in their exploration of Scripture. And so one of the things we do here is we have a lot of voices that you hear from. And it's intentional. And in the summer, we use this as an opportunity to hear from people we don't normally hear from. And so this year, we're going to hear from four other people, apart from, like, Harry will speak, Megan will speak, I will speak, Donya will speak, but we're going to hear from four other people who helped us from the start develop this series. So we took two different days, and we met 3 hours each of those days, and we sort of came with a bunch of material and said, Beauty for Ashes, what does that mean? And we've developed it together, and I'm incredibly excited about what's going to happen this summer. We know that you're going to be in and out. That's fine. But try to connect to the podcast just to sort of hear these different perspectives and different experiences and different stories so that we can every day, every week, see more of the fullness of who God is through the life and experience and perspective of others that have lived differently and had different lives than we had. So I'm setting the table for that. I'm grateful that we're a community that has the ability to listen, to be curious, to see and hear from people that have different experiences and different life trajectories than our own. It makes the church what God intended the church to be. When Jesus left and said, here, do the church thing, his idea wasn't that it was homogenous, polar, that only people that think exactly the same and have all the same experiences and have no, and that they're together and then us against the world. That's not his intention. His intention is that the kingdom of God, that the person and work of Jesus binds people who have no business being together, who in humility will listen from a place of curiosity and not of judgment, who will have conversations that point each other to Jesus, not to their ideals or their ideology or their politics. That's the heart of Jesus for his church. And I believe that as we look through in this summer of wonder and beauty for ashes, I believe that we will be taking more and more steps to cementing that as a part of who we are intrinsically as a community. So thank you for your patience in as we sort of develop all these things, and thank you for your curiosity. My prayer is that God will richly reward that curiosity. And oh, by the way, everything that you see that is beautiful is because of Michelle Coffey. So, because I just turned around and got a glimpse of this, and I'm like, oh yeah, that's great. And on the screen, wow. So if you see her, just tell her thank you. I'm going to pray and then we'll jump in. We're going to be in Isaiah 61, verse 1 through 7 to start. Father, you're good. Exceedingly good. Thank you. Thank you for your word, which is alive and applicable to our lives today. Thank you for the incredible sacrifice that is your son, Jesus. Thank you that it's through his life and death and resurrection that your word takes its proper perspective in our lives. And Holy Spirit, we recognize that you are here. We ask that you would speak to us today. Bring us words of comfort or conviction where they're needed. And we ask this all in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right, before I jump in, I just wanted to remind you guys, today at 2 p.m., we're going to have a very special all-church gathering here. And we're going to be looking at some of the realities financially and some of the plans we have going forward, but we'd like to invite you into some of those discussions. And so please be here if you can. Go get lunch and then come back. I think last week somebody said there was going to be refreshments, and unless they bring them, there won't be. So don't plan on that. And let's jump in. Isaiah 61, 1 through 7, and this is the prophet Isaiah is speaking to the people of God who have been in exile in Babylon, and they are mourning the good old days. They are mourning the beauty of what was while they contemplate the desperateness of their situation. They are anxious about returning to their home and the rebuilding of a temple that is a daunting task, and they're just struggling. And they're caught up in the heaviness of the loss to a point where they could not envision anything new. This is where we find the people that Isaiah is speaking to, and he says this: the Lord God's Spirit is upon me because the Lord has anointed me, and he has sent me to bring good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, and to proclaim release for captives and liberation for prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and a day of vindication for our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for Zion's mourners, to give them a crown, or in other translations, beauty in the place of ashes, oil of joy in a place of mourning, a mantle of praise in place of discouragement. They will be called oaks of righteousness planted by the Lord to glorify himself. They will rebuild the ancient ruins. They will restore formerly desert places. They will renew ruined cities, places deserted in generations past. And I'm going to stop there. Isaiah talks to a people in great turmoil who have experienced beauty in the past but are firmly rooted in a place of ashes. And he is telling them, lift up your head, essentially, saying the beauty of tomorrow is greater than you could ever imagine, and you can't even see it because you are stuck in the now of the ashes. And here's the reality. The people of God knew suffering. This group of people that Isaiah is speaking to, they know suffering. This is not a theory for them that suffering exists. They have lived it, and now for generations have lived suffering. So they understood pain. They're captives in a foreign land. They're forced to endure hardship. And here's the hardest part of it. They're forced to do so because of their own rebellion and sin. Because God had said, here's what I ask of you. And they said, no, thank you. We got that. We figured this out. We'll do it on our own. And God said, no, like, just trust me. You don't want to do that. And they're like, I think we're okay. So not only are they in a place of destitution, they also are in a place of great shame and guilt because they've brought it on themselves in some way. And so when Isaiah comes to them and he is reassuring them of the fact that God is going to redeem what has been lost, he is going to rescue what has been lost, he is going to give them something other than the ashes that they are in, it is revolutionary and hard to believe. See, ashes here are this physical representation of a longing, like a soul deep recognition that things are not right, that there has been pain, there has been loss, that there has been unmet expectations, that the world is not the way I thought it was, the world is not what it should be, and I am suffering because of it. It is the pain of knowing that I am not who I want to be, I am not acting the way God has called me to, and I am paying a high price for it. It's a recognition that we need the Creator, the living, loving God, to bring healing and wholeness to the hurting places we find ourselves in. Beauty, or the crown here, it represents, as Isaiah is talking about it, a crown. It helps to recognize that not only will there be a new day, but there will be a new reality. See, the promise here isn't just that the bad day will end and there will be a good day. It says there is coming an even better day than you could imagine, where the Savior, the Messiah, Jesus, is going to come. And not only will it change the realities of how you feel about your existence, it will actually change you. Because he will die, he will be born, he will die, he will be resurrected, it will change everything. So anybody who knows him, says yes, follows him, pursues with all of their soul, surrenders to the person and work of Jesus, they will have life here and an inheritance that can never perish spoil, or fade. This promise that Isaiah makes to this people is beyond their current circumstance. It is generational, it is revolutionary, and it is more beautiful than they could have ever imagined. What they wanted was their current circumstances to be better. And Isaiah says, you're thinking too small. What they're saying is, we just want today to look more like yesterday when things were better. He said, your thinking's too small. Seven 700 years after this is recorded, Jesus read these same first verses to an unbelieving people in his hometown. In Luke 4, he is in the synagogue, and they open the scrolls, and they go to Isaiah, and he reads, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me, he has sent me to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the prisoner, and recovery of sight to the blind, to liberate the oppressed, and proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll. I always believe it's very cinematic. You know, like, he's like, just, it's, I can hear, like, music in the background, like the, It probably wasn't. It was just probably like, this is what you do, you roll up the scroll. But anyways, in my mind, it's like, wow. Like, everything pauses and goes in like super slow motion, and the camera pans to see everybody's reaction. And he gave it back to the synagogue assistant, and he sat down, and every eye on the synagogue was fixed on him. And then he began to explain to them, and he says this, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled just as you heard it." So here's what he says. Here's the first part of Isaiah, and everything that follows is a yes. Why? Because I'm here. Because I'm the fulfillment of it. I'm the promise of a different tomorrow. I'm the promise of the beauty instead of ashes. I am the promise of and the fulfillment of the promise that not only is it life better than we have it, it is life more beautiful than we could imagine. It's a remarkable, remarkable reality. And here's the repercussions of it. What Jesus is saying, not only is that there's beauty, but he's saying, now that I'm here as Savior, and in my life and death and resurrection, I'm proving to be the fulfillment of this promise. But I'm also going to do something that you've never had. I'm going to be present with you. Always. I'm going to be present. That your reality will be soaked with my presence. That everywhere you are, whether it be beauty or ashes, I will be there. In the high or in the low, I will be there. In the beginning or the end, and in the middle and all of it, I will be there. He says, and the reality of that is a miracle. It's miraculous. C.S. Lewis says this about miracles. He says, miracles are retelling in small letters of the very same story which is written across the whole world. So he says, miracles are a retelling in small letters of the very same story which is written across the whole world in letters too large for some of us to see. See, the truth of the matter is that when Isaiah gives this promise to a people that are in ashes, it's not only a promise from God, it's a reminder to them of God's character and nature and heart and reality for all of eternity. It is this large, too large to see story, because in the haze of the now, it is really hard to see anything else. And the miracle of it is Jesus is saying, okay, this story is too big for you to see, but you can see me. That is a constant reminder of the story, of the rescue, of the redemption, of the beauty that is here and is to come. The reality for me is it's really easy to see ashes, and it's very easy to see beauty. It's really hard to see beauty when I'm in the ashes. It is very easy for me to see the ashes of my life when I'm in them. And the way ashes work is it's very easy to see them even when I'm not, because they're always whispering. There's the story they tell me that I'm right around the corner again. It's very easy when I'm out of the ashes to see beauty. I can see it everywhere. It's really hard for me to see beauty while I'm in the ashes. And it's the kindness of God that says to us through and gives us the opportunity to see beauty in the ashes through Jesus. It's the kindness of God that says, okay, it's not just a binary that there is beauty and there is ashes. And you're in ashes, but there will be beauty. And there is beauty, but there will be ashes. It's not that. It's that there is beauty and there's ashes, and there is beauty in the ashes. And the only way you can see it is because if you can see Jesus with you in it. And he is in it. As a pastor, oftentimes you're looking for sort of examples, right? And you think of all these ones, and usually you think of really elaborate ones around 10:29 in the morning on a Sunday. And they're like, oh man, if I did that, that would have been awesome. Think about it. I think other people are better, but that's how my mind works. I'm so like procrastination is like, it's a drug for me. Man, it feels good. Like the energy of like, I'm gonna get it done last minute, and then you're like, hey, I did it. And it's like, it could have been better. Yeah, but it could have been way worse. I mean, I waited to the very end. And so you're sitting there and going, oh, I could do this visual illustration. And man, we could have got a camel. It would have been, you know. But I was sitting sort of here getting ready, and I was in some ways lamenting my situation, the pain I feel, you know. And my friend Ella was sitting there beside me, and she taps me on the thing and says, can I draw on your iPad? Because usually I have my pen, and I let kids draw on the iPad. And I'm like, I don't have my pen, but here I have this little piece of paper, and you can draw on it. And I said, just draw something for me. And so I'm in the middle of pain and thinking, and like, how am I going to do all this? And then she draws me this. And so if you can't see, it's a picture of her and then like three hearts above it. And it was this reminder of beauty in ashes. Now, here's the reality of that for me. It's not like that I love like being in pain and then talking to kids. But what I do love is being present to what's happening. And in that presence, there's beauty that I wouldn't have otherwise seen. See, we know that the heart of God for us is beauty. And we know that because he sent Jesus. We know that the heart of God is redemption and restoration and rescue because we see Jesus. We also know that the realities of this world will lead us to places of mourning and loss and ashes. What I see in this, through the fulfillment of this prophecy and the person work of Jesus, is the ability to not only live in ashes with the hope of beauty, our beauty with an understanding that ashes are part of life, but I see is the gift and the kindness of God to give us, through the person and work of Jesus, the ability to be present in it, both the beauty and the ashes. And specifically in the ashes, to be able to see the glimmer of beauty that exists. Whether it be a sliver and barely visible to the naked eye, that the knowing that Jesus is with us in it gives us the ability to see beauty in the midst of ashes. There's this whole thing of the optimist and the pessimist and the realist, right? So the optimist says half full, half full, the pessimist says half empty, and the realist says actually it's 71.6%, whatever. The reality is that Jesus says it is what it is, but I'm actually the glass. Regardless of whether it's half full, half empty, 70%, I'm the constant in this story. Yes. I'm holding it.
Yes.
I've got this. This doesn't scare me. I'm not afraid the water is going to run out. I'm not afraid it's going to overflow.
Yes.
I'm not concerned about the percentage of it. I'm here. I'm the constant.
Yes.
Our job then becomes more about focusing on the Jesus in the moment than the moment itself. It doesn't deny the pain of ashes. The reality for the people that Isaiah is prophesying to is that their reality wasn't going to change tomorrow. This was going to take generations. And we live in this fast culture that's like, we want it fixed now. One of the worst things that's happened in pandemic is that things don't get here fast anymore. Nothing. And I'm not just talking about the things I order online. I'm just talking about getting back to normal, feeling sane again, enjoying life without thinking about stuff. Nothing is coming quickly. None of it. And it doesn't matter how much I try to convince myself that the world is rose-colored, it just keeps reminding me that it isn't. Beauty in the ashes is the ability to see the faithfulness of God yesterday. Like the people of God were able to do, they were able to do that. Look at the beauty of yesterday. Look how great things were. Beauty in ashes is able to see that. It's also able to see the promises of God for tomorrow. To say that my current circumstances are not the final story. There is something coming that is better. It's promised to me. And because of the faithfulness of God yesterday, I can trust him for his promises tomorrow. The beauty in the ashes is also the ability to see the presence of Jesus today. Now, in the midst of it, in the pain and the things, a little note that means what I want it to mean. Because that's how I do things. It's the reminder in small, seemingly intangible ways that God has not forsaken me or abandoned me. That the presence of Jesus in these moments is more valuable than I could ever imagine or fathom. As we look at beauty, the Oxford Dictionary defines it this way. It says, a combination of qualities such as shape, color, or form that pleases the aesthetic senses, especially the sight. And then Confucius, the philosopher, says this. He says, everything has beauty, but not everyone sees it. For our purposes in this summer of wonder, I want to define beauty as this. The moments of joy and unexpected laughter. Slivers of color and light that peek through the mundane, the haze, the milieu of our day-to-day lives. A window that gives us a glimpse of the promise of tomorrow. Or in other words, the promise of God for tomorrow and the presence of Jesus always. The story of God is beauty for ashes. The reality of Jesus is is presence in all of it. The ability to see beauty in the middle of ashes. The ability to recognize his goodness when everything around feels so uncertain. The ability to have the confidence of belonging that allows us to sit in the weight of our shame, our guilt, our loss, our anger, and our fear, and not let it destroy us. The ability to go to God and give him the ashes of our lives in lament or repentance, and know that he will not only be faithful to forgive what we repent of, but also to be with us, to be present with us while we're lamenting, and also the promise that he gives us for the beauty of tomorrow. As we were preparing this series, we were looking at different things. You know, there's sidewalks with little flowers that come up, and it's like, oh, that's beautiful. And then there's this thing that happened a couple years ago where people were taking walls that had been broken and they were filling it in with Legos. The heart of God for you is that you revel in his faithfulness of yesterday, that you hold tightly to his promises of tomorrow. And as you do that, that you have the eyes to see his presence in your now. If you find yourself in a place of ashes, you're not alone. You're not the first person in history that this has happened to. You won't be the last. But he's present. If you find your place in unimaginable beauty, he's present. He's mourning with you when you mourn. He's celebrating when you celebrate. And in all of it, he is pointing to you himself in your moments, in your everyday moments. One of the things we're going to do this summer is we're going to encourage you to, at different times this summer, to pause and to reflect. And the idea here is that in the hecticness of life, that there's some intentionality about the spaces you create to be able to see where Jesus is present with you. And so what we've done is we've done these small reflection cards that you can take with you. They're in the back, in the middle table. There's a bunch of them. Take as many as you want, but not all of them, please. We don't resell these on StockX or eBay or anything like this. Like, please don't do that. But the idea is to pause. So if you're taking a walk and you see something beautiful, pause and reflect. If you're in a moment where the weight of all of life is on you, pause and reflect. If you're stuck in a moment where the sin, the things that separate you from relationship with God, are overwhelmingly attacking you with shame, pause. And we are going to invite, in that, Jesus to show us where he's at. And we're going to be present to it. And if we're in the beauty, and we pause, and we see him, we're going to, with gratitude, thank him for his presence in the beauty and acknowledge that any beauty that exists is only because of the goodness of God. Whether it exists in the world of nature, in the world of my heart, in the world of relationships, in the world of whatever, in anything there is beauty, we know it is because of the goodness of God. And if we find ourselves in moments of ashes and we pause and he gives us a glimpse, not only of his presence, but of beauty inside the ashes, with gratitude, we are going to say thank you. Because your very presence is beauty. Thank you because of your unquestionable generosity. You allow me to see not only the promises of what is to come, but the realities of your presence now. So this summer of wonder, let us be overwhelmed undone, baffled by. Let us marvel in beauty for ashes and the beauty in our ashes. Let us feel heart of God expressed to the presence of Jesus in our everything. May it be a reminder that you are not alone. In the ashes, you're not alone. In the beauty, you're not alone. And in the in-between, you are not alone. Let it be a reminder that you belong to him, that you are his, and that he makes himself yours. May it free us to fully lament the things that need lamenting, so that we might walk towards the beauty of tomorrow with joy in his presence. May it lead you to not stay stuck in the shadows of the shame of the things that bind us, the sins that we hide in, that separate us, that make us believe that God doesn't want connection with us in a way that allows us to expose them to the light of his love and his righteousness and his forgiveness. And when we see the glimmers of beauty, share them. Be sacredly curious to look for those slivers of color and light and beauty all around us, and when you see them, share them. When you see it in your life, celebrate it with others. And when you see it in the life of others, celebrate it with them. And if you see abject beauty in the life of somebody and you're in the middle of ashes, celebrate them. Because it's a reminder of the promise of God, not just for them, but for you. And if you see somebody in the ashes, sit with them. Point them to the Jesus in the midst of them. Help them see the slivers of beauty in the midst of it. And more than anything, be present to our Savior, the Messiah, the fulfillment of the promise of Isaiah 61 in the person and work of Jesus. Be present to Jesus in the midst of everything. Whether it's half full or half empty or 71%, look at the glass that never changes. That's the only constant in anything. Holy Spirit, as we come to respond in worship, I just pray that you minister right now. For those that feel very far from you because of the making, because of their own making. I just pray that you bring peace to their souls, pull them out of the shadows of shame, and lead them to you for repentance and restoration. And for those that are in the ashes and feel no hope, I pray that Holy Spirit, you come and illuminate Jesus in the midst of it. And for those that are in unimaginable beauty, Holy Spirit, I pray that you come in a way that celebrates with them Jesus in the midst of it. So Holy Spirit, we invite you, have your way with us. Jesus, we thank you for your presence in everything. Let's worship.
You change everything, Jesus.
We want to see glory in the most beautiful, explosive, powerful things. But think about the bloodshed, the ashes that were traded. Think about your old garments and His majestic garments being traded. That is His glory too. Crucifixion, resurrection. Things of the soul, witness His glory in your life. And part of His glory is His church, His creation. You are part of that. And if you, like Josh said, feel a separation, your sin doesn't let you, your shame, what He did on that cross covers that for you. He took your shame. He took your sin. He placed that on Himself. He knows how you feel. He has been there. And He traded all of that so that you may have peace, eternal life, and you may know the Father. So if that's you, the Bible says that faith without works is dead. So if that's you, you're required to take an action. And that action is a prayer, your will, your heart to be opened. Nobody can force you. If you feel inside of you that it's time, that's because it's time. It's time to let that sin, to let that shame, to let that old secret, to let that old darkness, it's time to crucify that. It's time to let that die and to trade those ashes for His beautiful life. So just say, Lord, I say yes. This is my action. This is my prayer. I say yes to trading that old ash for your life. Yes. And just tell Him, Jesus, show me your glory. Show me your glory. Forgive me. Accept me. I give you my heart. I give you my life. I am here in all of my brokenness. I have nothing to give but this prayer. Take that and make that into something that gives you glory. And everybody said, amen. Amen.
We're going to have people on either side to pray after we're done here. And we believe in the power of prayer and a God that wants to visit us and is visiting us. If you don't feel comfortable going around there, just grab somebody that has a lanyard or just sort of throw your hand up and somebody will come pray with you where you're at. But as they were praying this morning, and we gather every Sunday morning to pray and ask God what He might want to do, and specifically there's a couple things that we feel. And so if you are dealing with a skin disease or skin problems, we want to pray with you. We believe that there's healing in that. the house today for that, also for allergies. And then those that are sort of in stuck, that there's a, that God is saying he's merciful and will have mercy for you out of Exodus 33, 19. But also in that beginning of that chapter, it says, call on my goodness to fall before you. It's that he is good and wants to show you that. And then there's something really specific. Ashley is right back here in the corner, and Ashley felt that, had an image of somebody, a girl or a woman that was against a wall and crying. If that's you, Ashley wants to pray with you. And so she's back here in the corner, Argyle sweater. And so we want to pray with you. As we engage in this summer of wonder, and my prayer for you is that you begin to see beauty everywhere. That you see the presence of Jesus in the midst of the ashes and the beauty and the in-between. That you create the space to recognize that he's with you. And as you do that, this is our prayer. May the living God,
que el Dios vivo,
creator of all the heavens and the earth,
creador del cielo y de la tierra,
may he richly bless you and keep you.
Que él te bendiga y te guarde.
May he make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you.
Que él haga resplandecer su rostro sobre ti y te dé su gracia.
May he smile on you and fill you with his peace.
Que Dios mismo te sonría y te dé su paz.
You have been and continue to be extravagantly loved by our Father.
Ha sido siempre y sigue siendo hoy extravagantemente amado por tu Padre Celestial.
Go do the same.
Ve y haz lo mismo.
Have a great week of worship. We'll see you next week, and we'll see you at 2:00 here for the all church gathering.
Go get your kids.